Great A's. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyVan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at InsureMyVan.ie.
How's it going, everybody? What's the story? I saw you just pressed the button. I wanted to get in first for a change. You know why? Because I fucking love myself. And that's the way we're starting this today. I am in love with myself. Not only am I in love with myself, I find myself hugely and enormously sexually attractive. I also,
I may not have to contribute at all. I might just let you run away there, right?
Yeah, you may go and get out of the room altogether today. I have a lot to say about myself today. Ooh. All following on from a story that I just read when Jim McCabe left the room to go and do whatever it is in his private business that he does when he disappears for whatever time he does. Probably just puts his head in his hands and says, Why me? But when he was doing that, I was finding myself enormously, like I said, sexually attractive. Because I read a story there about the most Googled terms, sexual terms, that were Googled in 2024. Don't know why it's taken two full
Googled
months.
Googled terms, as in, yeah. So people looking up to say, what does that mean?
Yes, exactly that. Or Googling the details of it to find out what the word that describes it is, if that makes any sense.
Oh, so in other words, that thing that you like to do with your with the egg whisk and whatever,
exactly.
What is that called?
If you're into egg whisks and a pair of tights and a bowl of porridge,
right.
What does that mean? So basically, the number one Googled sort of, what is the definition sex term of last year, ladies and gentlemen, is, opening the envelope, autosexual. And an autosexual, it seems, is a person that finds themselves sexually attractive. They're sexually attracted not to others, well, sometimes others, just not to the same level, I think, as they find themselves. So they basically look at themselves and they go, yeah, I wouldn't mind giving you a French, hey. But obviously it's frustrating because it's physically impossible. But
Are you serious?
And it's a growing thing.
That's one of the number one things.
So we're
saying that there's lot of people.
A lot.
Who find themselves more sexually attractive than any other person in the world.
Yeah, well, maybe, or at least as. There's no one they find more attractive than them. You know,
wow.
They'd like to have a threesome two of themselves and one other person.
You are the one person that would. I believe it. If you turned around and said to me, look, Jim, I have a confession to make. I think I might be autosexual. I saw it coming.
But there's very little I can say left to Jim now where he'd be shocked or anything, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
I do mean that. Very little. What did you do over the weekend? Well, Jim. I was just walking around.
For everybody's safety, really.
So
what else was in there? Was there anything else in there?
No, that was the one. It was about the most Googled term.
You see, that's classic, right? There was probably loads of terms. Probably loads of terms. But
well,
you saw the one that was about yourself. That's me. Even then, ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what he found. Yeah, there was probably loads of other things that involved the interests of other people. But no, it was about, I'm a person who absolutely thinks I'm a ride. Wow.
Jim gets turned on by calling people stupid. That's his thing. That's his kink. I'm trying to find a story here now for you. So New Day reveals, what is autosexual? By the way, I am not an autosexual. I said it for comedic effect, because I'm not sexually attracted to myself, but I do think I'm gas crack. So that's the thing. It doesn't really go through the rest.
That's a shame.
Kourtney Kardashian apparently is an autosexual. She's self-confessed autosexual.
Which one is that?
I don't know her. Engaging in their own.
You could understand if you looked like some of them.
A trait.
Like Kylie and whatever. Kardashian. You could understand being autosexual in that scenario.
Is it really news that the Kardashians are obsessed with themselves? Is that really news?
Exactly.
Is that something they should even need to come out about? You know, it's a bit like Lionel Blair saying, I'm actually gay. We know. You didn't need to say it. You know, it's like there's sort of...
What? Yeah. Lionel Blair.
Yeah, is he not the guy I'm thinking of?
I'm joking.
Sorry.
Yeah, that was me doing comedic effect. It doesn't happen very often in your eyes, but that's okay.
Yeah, so it's actually, genuinely, it doesn't go into the other terms. It's a whole article on what is autosexuality and how does autosexuality work. Because Gen Z...
What drew you to it, do you wonder?
To the story. You're such a bollocks.
What drew you to that story about finding yourself really attractive?
I didn't even do that sort of a situation. It came up on the news feed. All right, you know the one I'd be doing, reading every day to try and find content for this show. But it is gas, isn't it? Like, I mean, it cuts out. I mean, you save money on dating apps anyway. You just want to look at pictures of yourself.
That's, yeah.
All the time. I suppose you could create an AI version of yourself where you could talk to yourself, where it will answer you back in the style of yourself.
Do you think you'd ever fall out with yourself?
Ah, yeah. Oh, well, I mean, in your case, you can't even get on with yourself. So, yeah, and you don't think you're a bad fella.
That'd be a rough round to have, wouldn't it? You'd never get away from the other person.
Jim, I tell you, there you go now. Talk about polar opposites. What is the opposite to an autosexual? A gymosexual is that? That's a gymosexual.
What's a gymosexual?
Is you that just can't even be nice to yourself for 5 minutes. He walks around just going, "Ah, yeah, you would think that, you fucking ape, you big tick of a bastard, you." Jim, you're talking to yourself. I know who I'm talking to. Leave me over here abusing myself. Oh, yeah, typically you to make a shit. There you go, yeah. Hungry, are you hungry at dinner time? You big fucking hungry bastard.
That's you, you're never satisfied.
You're never that satisfied, you dirty hungry, who are you? You're like, Jim, stop talking about
it. Jesus. Because the gas thing about it is, you know, if you normally say something about somebody, right, when you say, do you know that fella, he could start a fucking argument in an empty room, that lad. You normally mean they're a sort of an aggressive, irritable...
Towards other people. But you're never aggressive to other people.
But I could go into a room on my own and just have an argument with myself.
Yeah, you wouldn't do it to anyone else.
That'd be typical of you, Jim. Absolutely typical of you. You let something fall down, that's you. Nobody else has ever let anything fall down, fall out of their hand. No, you clumsy oaf.
Yeah, big clumsy. 300 ages. Although that would make you less clumsy, I suppose.
That would be actually very handy.
Sandy. But that's, you know, so that's the, you're the opposite to that. Although I'd call you a gymosexual as well, because there's literally no sexual elements to that. Yeah. Unless that's what you're into.
A gymophobic. That'd be good. I could be a gymophobic. I have a phobia about myself.
Phobia, yeah. He's afraid of himself. He sees himself in the mirror and goes, there he is again, the bastard. Sneak, I have to stop sneaking up on myself.
And he's an
Asian. And that's it. And that's the thing with Gen Z. The Gen Z, who are now adults, which I still struggle to understand the fact that people born in the 2000s are now adults in their mid-20s. You know, so that's Gen Z. And they all have these new terms, you know, autosexual and sapiosexual. I think that... Is that just what you're attracted to humans? Does that need a name?
Sapiosexual.
Isn't that one, yeah? Is sapiosexual? I think that might... It must be I'm more than just being attracted to humans. Because honestly...
I have to say, when you said autosexual...
Demisexual, that's another one. You know,
what, you're only half into it?
No, not semisexual, but that's great. I'd be half interested in a ride if you were. But I like you on me. If it's not a recording, I'll go for the recording.
Yeah. Would you like super sex? I'll take the soup.
Because
when you said autosexual first, I thought you were going to come out with people who like, you know, having sex with a car.
There you go. And they're out there as well. But
that's what
probably,
I'm saying.
Yeah.
What are they called then?
Oh, what are they called? Vehicular sexuals or something. Or...
So what was demisexual meant to be?
Demisexual is when you can't have sex with somebody or you don't want to have sex with someone unless you already have an emotional connection to them.
Is that not what's meant to be the basis of most good relationships?
It needs a name now. Apparently it needs a name.
Right, of course it does. See, of course it does.
And then there's...
So if you're not having a one-night stand, you might be a demisexual anyway.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, so a demisexual would never have a one-night stand, for instance. Type of sexuals, I'm going to put into Google. Type of sexuals.
This is going to be fantastic. When somebody finally discovers PJ search history, it's going to be, I'll tell you something, the entertainment value
this
alone.
This is the most old man thing. How many types of sexuals are there? Asexuals, they're not into anything.
What? Come here. Just out of curiosity, what sort of a sexual are you? I beg your pardon?
Yeah, a spectrosexual, a term that describes those who are romantically and sexually attracted to multiple sexes. There's a lot of names for people who are kind of, I would have just, you know, the way, bisexual was the umbrella term for a long time.
What's the one that we've used on this show, not used, but we've referred to on this show before, but the people who want to have amoratic escapades with ghosts and all?
What is the type of sexual suicide?
Just because when you said spectre there, I thought, maybe that's it. The ones who are like being naughty with ghosts.
No, I have to do the Google.
This is great. Listen to this. I hope you're listening to this somewhere within your own.
What do you call it if you're attracted to a ghost?
I hope your Alexa or your Google Assistant or whatever was listening to that and is going around now while your kids are there going, well, if you like to make love to ghosts.
Why is microphone access is allowed? I'm asking, what you call it if you're attracted to a ghost? It won't even answer me. Even Google's going.
This is literally like the time he told that story about how much protein in a banana or something. And he ended up with like...
It says, how do you feed a panda? It came up.
And
then I says, and then I got all upset. I was there. What? Oh, fuck's sake. And then, I go, okay, go on then. How do you feed a panda? And the answer was, there are 300 calories in a banana.
Right.
Being attracted to
a ghost. I
have to type it because I can't understand.
We'll all be spectres by the time you.
Spectrophilia. Spectrophilia.
Right. So you're not a spectral
sexual. Phasmophilia. Phasmophilia is a sexual attraction to ghosts.
Was he not a character in Grange Hill when we were a kid?
Phasmo. All right, Phasmo. Why is he called Phasmo? He keeps looking at them horror books and having a good time. Yes, that's it. Yeah, phasmosexual is a thing.
Wow.
Yeah. If you're into is a fetish that's classified as the paraphilia. So if your paraphilia is being into the paranormal and getting an old excitement off it.
Yeah.
It's mad, isn't it? Like, there really is a name for everything. I think I'm into it. I like that there's a name for everything.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I do. You know what I mean? It makes life a little bit easier.
There's more stuff to remember.
Yeah, there's that as well.
Because it was much better. It was much better when everybody came under the umbrella term of weird.
Yes. And I'm all for
What's
weird.
What's he into? Ah, he's weird.
Weird stuff.
That'll do.
What's
That'll
weird stuff?
Me.
Anything.
Anything that's not me.
Anything that's not missionary, which are Marty's other.
Yeah.
You know.
Just classify everybody as weird.
It's like,
I
love that on The Office. There's a great episode of The Office, The American Office. And they say to Michael, what are you into? What stuff are you into? Like, what's your kink? And he goes, I'm into lady on her back, he says. That's...
Wow.
That's all right too. Yeah. I think that's it's gas. We're in a world now, I think, where some people of a certain age feel almost pressure that they only just want to have, they only want to be with one person.
Right, and they're made to feel weird about it.
And they're like, are we weird? Are we?
Yeah.
Should we go upstairs and just try something in the shower or something? And she's like, I don't really feel the need.
I'm in the middle of the breakfast.
I know.
Just bring that with you.
It's just the internet's telling me a lot of things and all. There's a fella there, he's mad into ghosts and all. Should we be into that? Should we dress up as ghosts or anything? Yeah. She's like, no.
Do you want me to put my builder's uniform on?
Yeah. No, are you happy? Yeah, I am, yeah. It's just like we're being left behind.
You're not bored, are you? Would you feck off?
You don't want to put on a Wellington boot, a pair of knickers or anything. Chase her out of the house. You don't want any of that, do you?
Yeah.
No, she's like, no. Yeah, all right. Does any of your friends want it? Are we supposed to do that now as well?
Wow.
Yeah. Stop talking, you're only getting in trouble.
So it's kind of getting to the stage now where normal is the new weird.
Normal
is
that. That's it. Normal's the new weird.
If you're doing what was once regarded as run-of-the-mill normal.
That's a kink
mainstream,
now. That's a kink
that's
now.
That's like, yeah. He doesn't even... I tell you, I've never even seen that lad with a sex toy. Ooh,
he's
very unusual.
He's on radio. He likes leaving his pyjamas on and all. He only pulls them down a little bit. That's the mad stuff he's into, you know?
Because
they'd be cold, he says. They love you. They'd be all worried about the cold and everything, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They'd be there, they turn off the light and all. They'd be there going, how's it going? Love you.
Turning off the light.
Turn off the light. Oh, are you there? Are you there?
That would be. Come here. I tell you the kind of sexual I'm into, right?
Yeah.
I turn off the light and then I wonder if she's even there.
She's given
into
the room.
Or have she left the room and left me on my own?
Yeah.
It does be mad. I tell you, the tension does be killing me.
It's all real.
Sometimes I go, where are you? Where are you? And I don't hear a word.
I'm what are you doing over there, sexual?
I'm a sort of. Is it going to happen or not, sexual?
That's a great... there's a game I'd love to play with someone. I'm not even messing. You just turn off the light, you're wearing nothing but a T-shirt each.
What's your obsession with constantly having to wear a T-shirt?
February, it does be cold. And you just have to try and find each other. I don't know, whatever, you're just doing whatever you both like when you do find each other. As long as everybody's consenting and happy. But you have to try and find each other in the dark.
Yeah.
Your move.
And if you don't, that person has to make the tea.
Yeah. You just have to leave the park. just have to go home.
Gates are closing. I haven't found anyone yet.
I can't have done. I wear even leffy trousers.
I kind of got this long t-shirt on me.
I've got a good mind to get into that weird kink where you just stay in the room together and watch TV.
Is there not even a ghost in the place now?
Oh, yeah. Remember when we were on Netflix and Sexuals? That was great.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyVan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at InsureMyVan.ie.
I mean, a statistic, you know the way they do say lies, lies and statistics?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
This seems like one of those situations now.
It does. This is apparently, right, and I'm worrying for poor old Jim McCabe now here, but 80% of men, they say, 80%, a huge majority of men, are worried about going bald, right? They say young men...
Why is that a... That's not a worry for me.
No,
it'd be a bit late to be worrying about it now.
Well, I'm just saying I'd hate to be the person that people look at and say I'd hate to be him. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, they do say that about me all the time.
Yeah,
funny enough, it's not the baldness though that they.
But you
work with that PJ. I hate to be you.
Well, there you go. There's worse things. There's worse things, and I would like to say au contraire. I'd like to say is actually there's nothing wrong with going bald. So if you're one of these lads, you're terrified of going bald. Just remember, there's loads of examples of exemplary sexy baldies out there. Loads of them.
Sure, the Rocks and the Bruce Willises and the whatever.
I wouldn't discount the Jim McCabe's either. You know what I mean? Carries himself extremely well.
You know the way you're saying the 80%, right?
Yeah.
But surely way more than 20% of blokes are already bald.
Yes, I wonder if there's a bit of denial in this, where there's a fella who is bald. Right? He's bald, right?
And won't embrace it.
And he's got two strands or something coming out of the side of his head. And it's going over the top. And he's wrapping it round. It's growing out near one ear. And he pulls it over his head and wraps it around the other ear. And he thinks no one notices. And he's going, Jesus, I'd hate to go bald. And everyone's going, mate, just...
Yeah.
Let it go.
Let it go.
Give in. Give in to it. Let it go. Embrace it. That's the only way to fight baldness. Embrace it. Let it go on your time. You know, take over the situation, zip it, and then you're going to look perfect and fine. And don't be afraid of going bald. There's much more things to be afraid of when you're getting older. I mean, be afraid of wearing skinny jeans in your 50s. That's something to be afraid of. Be afraid of becoming a dowdy old lad with leather patches on your jacket. That's something to be afraid of. Be afraid of becoming the man who... becomes inanely boring talking to his neighbours about stuff they don't care about. That's something to be afraid of.
Yeah.
You can be a hugely attractive baldy. Although I work with one every day. It's unbelievable. You want to see it.
I suppose you're right. Mind you, having said that, we do even celebrate we celebrate famously boring men on this show.
We do.
Of which there are many.
Oh.
But I know what you're saying. I mean, if you're, you know, you could worry more about becoming that lad who kind of, you know, collects the pull rings off cans and all those weird hobbies.
Yeah, exactly. Or becoming very extraordinarily passionate about Hoovers or something. You know, there's loads of things that you can actively avoid as you come into a certain age. And your physical, from the chin up, really, there's nothing to be worrying about. There really isn't. You're probably looking an awful lot better than you give yourself credit for.
Yeah.
You know, and you might just shave it all off and look back to yourself and go, what was I thinking walking around like that?
To be fair, that is, it's a very entertaining look, you have to say. You don't see it as much nowadays, but
no,
in the past, there used to be that amazing look of those, as you say, the people who just refused to embrace it and would get extremely creative about how they would try and disguise their...
I'll never forget my dad's comb
challenging.
My dad's comb over was... I remember the wind blew once and it went up in the air, was flying, and I thought he was waving at me. And then I saw his arms down by the side. I waved back and everything.
Glory Days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
Ghosts,
yeah.
Do you believe?
I nearly died thinking about it.
I thought you got a fright there, did you?
Yeah. Researchers in Manchester, though, reckon they've figured out why some people believe in ghosts and spirits while others do not.
Right.
So, researchers are saying that a belief in ghosts, it's linked to higher stress. People who are naturally more stressed out. Because it sort of reflects a feeling that the events are caused by things that are beyond your control. And if something's beyond your control, and even if it's explained to you, here's exactly what's happening, naturally stressful people, such as Jim McCabe, they might go, oh no, it's definitely worse than that. And then they go, it must be supernatural.
Right.
So it must be ghosts. So even so, basically, at night, you know, you hear a noise, right? And someone says, don't worry, Jim, that's just the immersion, or it's this, that, and the other. You know, he still feels worried, even though it's explained. He still feels worried. So he goes, I don't think it was. And without any basis, then goes, it was the banshee of Roundwood of Hearing.
Tell something. Yeah. I sincerely hope I never have to go for any form of future employment anywhere.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
The picture you paint of me, I wouldn't have a hope of getting anywhere.
Well, not if I go to the job interview with you anyway, that's for sure. Which I would imagine I would be doing.
The one thing I will say for you, though, it does make sense, to be fair, that the most likely people to believe in ghosts are people who have a natural tendency to be afraid of other things.
Yes.
You know, if you're afraid of if you're anxious about your life, chances are you're probably going to be more inclined towards being worried about supernatural spirits.
Yeah, and then when you go that way and then you try to control it, well, you've already made your world a bit bigger, right?
Right.
So then you start going, oh, God, right. So you calm down, you go, oh, my God, I feel normal now. I couldn't possibly feel normal on my own. So the ghosts must be helping me to feel normal. So they're good ghosts.
The ghosts must be helping me.
There's no ghosts, you know. Right. So that's the thing. But I will say, now, that's in your case, that explains. What doesn't work for me is I've read a lot of ghost stories, and we've done a lot of ghost stories on the show, where people are extraordinarily confident about it, you know.
In terms of, of course there's ghosts, don't be ridiculous.
I'm told you. Remember the woman who married a dead pirate and all? And then they got divorced. But she wasn't getting on with him. He wasn't talking to her. Remember that? He stopped talking to her. And she was like, that's it, I'm filing for a divorce.
I feel like I'm on my own in this relationship.
Honestly, sometimes it's like,
you're not even there.
Yeah. Remember her? And then there was the man. He was walking past the woods. And somebody in the bush shouted, F-O! Remember that fella?
I do.
And he went, hello? Is there anybody in there? And again, go, F-O! And he went, unbelievable. I can't see anything. It must be a ghost.
And he reported it as a ghost
in the woods, an angry spirit.
It used very human language.
Yeah, even though I went, hey, F-O! And he was like, that's a ghost. That's a ghost. And he was totally confident in it.
Yeah.
So I guess it's hard to know.
Wow.
But, you know, I think everybody, even the most confident in the fact that ghosts don't exist, like myself and all, I've still had me wobbles.
I tell you something.
I've still had my wobbles.
I defy any... You know that situation? Everybody experiences at least once. And even if exactly what you're saying. So you say, don't be ridiculous. Like,
yes, stupid.
For God's sake. It's just
get over yourself.
Irrational
and
all this kind of stuff.
You're an adult.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you turn the light off and you have to walk up the stairs on your own.
Oh, I'll never forget when I was in the countryside up around your way and somebody turned off the lights. There was no lights outside. The music, like in Dublin. And I saw my own reflection looking in the window at me. Mother of God, I jumped right out of my trousers.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyVan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at InsureMyVan.ie.
As a general rule, I think it's fairly safe to say most people, most normal people, I mean, there are exceptions that spring to mind, but most normal people try and avoid arguments.
I think so. Nobody enjoys a bicker.
Yeah, you generally try and avoid conflict. I mean, there are exceptions, as I say. I mean, the bomber, for example, thrives on a good
row. But that's because he wouldn't know how to communicate if he wasn't given out.
But as a rule, but did you know that there is no such thing as just an argument? They're multifaceted. There's different types of argument.
You have four different types of arguers. So you have an arguing profile.
Right.
That's according to a doctor, Dr. Daria Cuss, who's like a psychologist and everything. And she says, if you understand what your argument style is, it helps you avoid arguments in the future.
Right.
So, she's named them and everything, right?
So, it doesn't necessarily help you win. This isn't like battle strategies.
No.
This is to avoid them in the first place.
If you can adopt one of them, it should help you win.
Right.
Well, not win, but come to a conclusion, you know. That's the problem. If you're trying to win an argument, you've already lost. That's the thing, you know.
Right.
But, like, the appeaser is one of them, right? So the appeaser, definitely Jim McCabe, right? Definitely Jim McCabe. I've seen it in action, right? An argument starts, You know, like, would you do this? Would you do? Oh, would you do this? Blah, 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 whatever. And then it's okay. I'll just do it. No, listen. Come
giving
here.
In.
No, listen. Come here now. I'm just going to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. I brought it up. You know, that sort of stuff. You know, the appeaser.
Yeah. And
you
know, yeah.
I mean, no, yeah, you don't have to be sorry. I am sorry I brought it up. Honestly, I'm sorry. I just offended everybody. It's always me. I'm so sorry, right? I'm sorry. I'm alive. I'm sorry I'm alive. I'm sorry I'm alive. I'm sorry I have opinions.
Yeah.
You know, you just do what you want to do.
I will confess, I do find giving in sort of... Because I really don't like arguments. I really don't like conflict of any sort.
Yeah, but there you go.
So I do end up kind of going... I do end up giving in. Yeah. Even when I know I'm right. Deeply know that I'm right. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'll just do it anyway. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I'm going to do it anyway, right? What do you need? Just tell me what you need.
Yeah.
I'm not happy about it, but doesn't... You know, whatever. So that's one. That's the appeaser, right?
Right.
And then there's the avoider. Now, the avoider is the one I hate the most. That's the one I struggle with the most. Because that's the one where you're like, you know, well, what happened there? It doesn't matter. It does matter.
Oh, is this part of the kind of, what's wrong with you? Nothing.
Nothing. There is something wrong. There isn't.
I can tell by you there's something wrong.
Why don't you tell me
what's wrong with me?
Why don't you just shut up? Me shut up? I'm trying to find out what's wrong. Mind your own business.
Oh, you know.
Oh, you
what about
yeah.
that one? What about
oh,
yeah. that one? Yeah. What's wrong with you?
As if you don't know.
As if you don't know. Well, no, I'm asking.
I'm asking you what's wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Leave it. Just leave it. Just leave it. Just leave it, will you? Just shut up. Just go away. Just stop talking to me, right? That's the avoidant, right?
Right.
I hate that. Now, that drives me mad. Then there's the one we all know. We all know an aggressor. There's the aggressor, right? You know the time bomb person.
Oh, so, do we ever.
Oh, God. So what's going on? Everything seems to be grand. And then you hear something happen. And then you might not even be in the same room as him. What the name of Jesus he have to do it now? Where is that pick? You know, we
may or may not have mentioned that man a little earlier in this conversation.
What in the name of jumping Jehoshaphat? I'm going to absolutely...
I'll tell you, or even in a normal conversation, everything is quiet, normal, just, you know, general.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what's wrong with you.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere.
Exactly. Or they bring in stuff that has nothing to do with the situation. You're as bad as your mother. She started this.
Wow.
You know, what are you talking about? Yeah, look at you. Big sunny, I like everything head. What are you talking about?
Literally,
yeah.
The epitome of that. Remember, they used to say you could start it in an empty room.
Yeah,
one of those types.
Just explosive, you know, just explosive. You know, like you're sitting there watching TV and just throw the remote control at the wall. Shut up! I didn't even say anything. Yeah, and then there's the alliance seeker. Now, the alliance seeker, they say, is the good one. So that's the one where it's like it kicks off and they're trying to bring things down. You know, they're trying to like, so, and then they say things like, I see you're upset. It's not how I see it, but I can see it the way you see it the way I see it. You know, you're trying to form alliances, trying to look for things you have in common.
With the person you're arguing with.
With the person you're arguing with, rather than to try
as opposed to being a sneaky snake and just seeing two people arguing and deciding, I'd say she's going to win. I'll side with her.
Yeah. I know, whose side am I on here? Yeah, that nitwit hasn't a chance.
We know a few of them as well.
Yeah.
I wasn't saying it. It's just he said it, and you know, so I was only there.
Yeah, yeah. And then Jim said it earlier. He was on my side, wasn't he? Oh. What was it? I thought you were saying something else.
Yeah. I wasn't even in the room when that happened.
I don't actually care about any of this. I wish I wasn't.
So the appeaser. So that's
the alliance seeker. That's the alliance seeker.
Right.
Yeah. So the alliance seeker.
It sounds a little bit like the appeaser now.
Not
quite as subservient.
No, the appeaser is aggressive. The appeaser is like, it doesn't matter. I'll do it anyway. It doesn't matter what I want. I'm sorry I'm alive. You know, the person who's the alliance seeker is kind of going, yeah, I do. I see it from your point of view. I do. But here's my point of view. You know, and trying to constantly look for what you have in common, not what you have apart. That's the alliance seeker.
Right.
And trying to bring this on. When someone shouts, they pull back. They ask, do you want to take a break? And can we come back to this later? You know, it's all these things, you know.
Oh,
basically,
right.
They don't exist. Liars.
Glory Days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
Everybody has their own little idiocy, their own little habits. And they're not always appreciated, your little habits.
No.
By everybody else.
No, and tourists are the worst offenders, aren't they?
Mm.
There's another thread there on Reddit now at the moment. You know Reddit, where everyone goes to give out. It's sort of like a more polite Twitter. And people are gone there and they're talking about the biggest tourist no-nos that you've encountered when you're travelling, you know.
Right.
And, I mean, a lot of them are quite obvious. You know, it's like the sort of thing, like, it's slow walkers and people who stop in the middle of a path to look at maps and that type of thing. And the advice that's given there is, listen, it's like being in a car. If you want to stop, pull in. Pull
right.
in.
Move to the side
move
of the path.
Move to the left or right. Move to the right. Pull in out of the way. People have places to go. Don't stand there and then unravel a map. Although, who has a map anymore? No one uses a map anymore.
Yeah.
Google Maps. And
mind
then,
you could be like me and be looking at your Google Maps while still in Dublin.
Yeah.
Trying to find your way around.
Jim uses his Google Maps to find out what's on the shelves in the petrol station.
But anyway, yeah. But you're right, get in out of the way.
Get out of the way. Don't be standing there in the middle of the path. You got a lot of that in COVID and all as well. People just standing there idly or walking three abreast.
Yeah.
As if
can I also just point out, that applies to you if you're in a car. If you're sightseeing and you want to drive slowly to take in the mountains and the fields.
If there's a car
get in out of the way.
Get in out of the way
and let people by.
You trail along again, like... Yeah. No problem, but get in out of the way, you know. And then when you go to nice places or, you know, sites that people are looking to have photographs taken with and all that, if there's a narrow path, that type of thing, don't be standing there like you're at a photo shoot. One shot, go. If it didn't work out, come back next year.
Next year. Not even wait till the end of the queue.
One shot and get the hell out of the way. There's people waiting.
But
there's people waiting.
But the board pulled on me in that
I
one.
Don't care. If you have a double chin and a jug ear and a board poo, you had your chance, you blew it. There's somebody else's turn now.
Go back to your own.
It's somebody else's turn. You're not an influencer, you're an idiot.
Right.
Out of the way, right? So that has to happen. And then they also say if you're, like, wear appropriate clothes.
Or just clothes.
And they say, you know, at the beach attire is fine. But if you're wearing a bikini and you're standing in front of the pyramids or a temple or something...
Yeah.
For the love of God.
Yeah, don't be walking around. Yeah, that's...
You know,
yeah.
If you're walking around...
In your grey smalls.
If you're a fella walking around with your three-quarter lengths and your belly top on, four-knotted hanky and all, maybe get changed before you go to dinner.
Yeah, some of these sites, are, you know, they have historic relevance and, you know, history and they mean something to the locals, you know. You wandering in there with your lager lout top on...
Yeah.
Doesn't cut it.
Yeah, you know, all these type of things, you know, and that's wearing your budgie smugglers and a Dublin jersey standing in front of a place that may be sacred to a local. You know, just have a bit of think about it. Just have a little think about it. Where am I going and what should I wear?
Although I would say, you know, budgie smugglers and a Dublin jersey anywhere is going to be, it's going to be hard to find an appropriate environment for that.
I saw it on O'Connell Street just yesterday.
You've been listening to Glory Days, the best of Radio Nova's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. Catch the show live weekdays 6 to 10 on FM, online at nova.ie or on the Nova app.